Florence Pugh gives us a peek at Thunderbolts, Godzilla and Kong reign over the box office, plus we are live and giving away gift cards on this, because this is our 1 year anniversary show. 1 year, everybody. All that and more on this week's Multiverse News.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to Multiverse News, your source for information about all your favorite fictional universes. My name's Matthew Carroll, and it's a celebration, everybody. A party. I wanted to do a big birthday banner. I didn't do it. I'm sorry. I didn't get to it. But imagine if there were a big gold birthday banner right here. Just not like the Hulk, but the banner. With me on the panel today, you just heard his voice, Jay Sisson. What's going on, Jay Sisson?
Hey, I'm doing great. You know, the haters said we couldn't do it, but look at us now. We made it a whole year.
That's right.
I'm just kidding. We don't have any haters.
That's right.
Everybody's been fantastic, actually. But yeah, this we made it a whole year. It's awesome.
There's my favorite Paul Simon song. He has a line where he goes, "All my life I've been a wanderer." He's introducing a new character. And he says, "Not really. I mostly lived in my parents' home." And like, I just love that introduction of a character so much. Like someone, anyway, I love it. And Haley Hobbs, what is happening?
Happy 1 year, guys. The only hater we ever have is sometimes Jay.
That's Alex. I'll accept sometimes that.
Sometimes he'd be drinking that haterade.
I will accept that.
Jay's like, everyone's been really kind, except for me. Except for me. And Jay Scotty St. Clair, what is happening, buddy?
Happy multiversary, everybody. Happy to be here.
Yeah.
We made it.
Multiversary, as coined by Karen, thank you. We promoted this thing all for like weeks, didn't come up with that name, and then in the chat she said it. Great job. let's turn to we do what we do at the beginning of every show is we do our five-star review. This week we have it from, this one's really interesting, from Makee Lee. He says, I really adore this show. I have been part of the Pandaverse for years. I started out with the MCU cast, but I really love this show and the range of things it covers. Also, this most recent episode, you all discussed Free Guy and their director, Sean Levy. I'm actually in the movie. If you've seen it, my character's name is Hostage, but I'm more commonly known as Hands Up Guy. You may remember me from the movie. Anyway, great work. How cool is that?
Pretty cool.
Hands Up Guy. I remember Hands Up Guy very well.
It's a pretty significant role as far as like, you know, a background character. Like, yeah.
I mean, if nothing else, he's always raising his hands. Yeah. So like even in a crowd shot, you always see him. Like he's always like, there's other big name our actors and stuff, but he's over there raising his hands. You're going to see him. I love that. That's awesome, man. Thanks for being a part of the Pandaverse. That's really cool.
Very cool.
Super sweet. And we mentioned last week we're going to be giving away a bunch of like gift cards and stuff. We're going to be giving away random gift cards to people in the live chat. We gave one away to Karen for coming up with Multiversary. She's going to get one. But we also we gave away some for people who went and gave us reviews this week and posted them on social media. And two people won $50 gift cards to, what's the website?
Box Lunch is the name of the website.
Boxlunch.com. It just has a bunch of geeky merch. It's
Thanks
fun.
Thanks for listening to our very professional podcast, a lot of it. You guys.
Listen, if it's not in the document, I don't know it. That's just the general rule.
A lot of cool X-Men 97 stuff over there now. I mean, lots of, mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of cool stuff.
So we're going to give a $50 gift card to two people who sent in reviews. Thank you all who did that. And it's going to be Jess Kamai and Waterfall Angel, selected at random from people who've given us reviews and shared them on social media. Thank you, Jess Kamai and Waterfall Angel, long-term listeners and friends of the show. Thanks for being here. So you guys are going to get $50 Box Lunch gift cards. Woo!
Yes.
That's the beginning, just the beginning of the celebration. So stick around, be a part of all the things, and you might win stuff too. Who knows? Who knows? How about we get to our first story? You guys ready to do that? Or I feel like it's a celebration. It's just a party. I'm already half in the bag. Like, I don't know about if I can do the news.
Like Oprah up in here. You're like, you get a gift card. You get a gift card.
That's what I'm hoping to do. Just get drunker and drunker and give away too much gift cards.
We're like, Matt overcommitted on gift cards. He actually gave out like way more than we had. And now we have to back it up.
Matt gave away more gift cards than money we've made this entire year.
Matt was like Mr. Beast. He was out like giving away like huge amounts of money.
Hey man, works for Mr. Beast. I don't see why giving away my life savings won't work for me. Okay. First up this week, Florence Pugh tempted the ire of Marvel Studios' infamous snipers. Sorry, I almost said spiders. Almost read that wrong, but I did it right, but I just had to share with you guys that I almost said they had infamous spiders. Infamous snipers, when she shared a video tour of the Thunderbolt set via social media last week. Though the video was clearly staged and was sparse on reveals and details, it did give us our first official look at the Yelena Belova costume for Thunderbolts. It's a combat-ready getup. But still lots of pockets. A clear departure from Marvel's typical airtight protocol. Do we feel this marketing stunt was a win, or does Yelena just have us all in one of her many pockets?
Pockets are very important, and as a woman, Yelena understands that, because our clothes are woefully short of pockets, even to this day. And I think it's both. I think everybody loves the character of Yelena, and I think people love Florence Pugh. I think she's very, like, every person, and she's relatable, and people enjoy stars like that, even though she's a star on, like, a mega scale right now, being in Dune, and just everything, basically, under the sun, Oppenheimer, etc. So I thought this was fun. I'm glad that Marvel did this. I think it's important for them to be a little more accessible right now for their fans and for their supporters, just to kind of give us a little glimpse and get that hype train rolling, like we like to say on this network, I guess. I was going to say this show, but I don't know if we say that very much on this show. And I thought it was really smart. I think they should do it sparingly, because if you do it too much, it loses its shine and its charm. And if it's always Florence Pugh, that would be fine too.
Just, even if she's not in the movie.
Just yeah, it's her just, show that's her thing.
Spider-Man set.
Like Ruffalo couldn't keep his mouth shut. Flo is the video girl who can.
Well, on the subject of pockets, I will say, I remember the day that I learned that cargo shorts were a fashion no-no or a fashion faux pas, and that was a devastating day for me, because cargo shorts are so utilitarian.
Jay Scotty, I feel like I met you like 3 years ago, and I'm pretty sure you were wearing cargo shorts.
Maybe, but pretty unlikely. I've been rocking the chinos for a number of years now. No shade to anybody that's still wearing the cargo shorts. I respect you for your stick-to-itiveness.
Hey, it's all coming back now.
It'll come back.
Yep.
Yeah. But that being said, my big takeaway here is the Florence Pugh of it all. Like, there's been kind of debates about who is the lead of this film. Is it, Julia Louis-Dreyfus? Is it Florence Pugh? Is it Sebastian Stan? And as we've heard more and more, it does seem like Florence is going to be the lead. And I think that's such a great call. Yelena is already such a beloved character in her few, appearances between Black Widow and Hawkeye. And, the other thing about it is, like, yeah, it is very, very clearly staged, but it is such a break away from what Marvel typically does with, being so tight-lipped about everything. It is kind of refreshing to see themselves not take themselves so seriously. I think it speaks to kind of a new chapter for Marvel, where they realize, they haven't done everything successfully, like, whereas I think some of their shortcomings are different from, what somebody else might think. They do need to learn some things, and it seems like they are learning to take themselves a little less seriously, and I think that bodes well, yeah. I'm here for all the Florence Pugh.
Yeah, I mean, what better shoulders to put it on? I mean, you've got this whole franchise that needs some shoulders. Like, we've got to put it on some characters, and got to put it on big stars. It was on Robert Downey Jr. and Chris Evans and Scarlett Johansson and all of these OG Avengers shoulders for so long. And as those characters have moved out of the way, we've already talked about Sebastian Stan kind of rolling back a little bit, Elizabeth Olsen rolling back a little bit. Like, as these old stars start to kind of age out of the MCU or move on to other things, we do need to bring in people that can carry it forward. And Florence Pugh is a megastar. It makes total sense that you would want to help continue to build the franchise around her. We've already talked about how she is clearly the main character of Thunderbolts. It seems like that's cemented with a video like this. You're handing her the camera. She's there on day one of filming. There was like a scene in the background that she was that they were kind of like in the middle of shooting, of her like holding a gun and like kind of like holding somebody hostage or something. It looks like they've got like an updated logo for Thunderbolts, like on the chairs. You can kind of see like what the new like font. I mean, it's nothing like super crazy, but just like the font's updated, you know, but they got this thing rolling. Like, to me, I saw this and I was like, all right, we're going. Like, this movie's in production. We're shooting scenes. Like, we've hit the ground running with this movie. So that's the biggest takeaway for me. And I'm excited to see where this movie goes. I mean, we'll talk about Godzilla and Kong here in a little bit and how well it did on Easter weekend. That has been a trend, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. But Easter weekend seems to be like a movie weekend now. It has been for the past couple years. Thunderbolts comes out a week after Easter, and to me, like, I'm kind of thinking like, man, you might want to pop that back a week and really try to attack that box office week with this movie. I think people are excited for it, and all the reception that I saw online to a video like this was like, give us more of this. Like, give us an inside look. We still want to like Marvel movies, you know. Give us something to be excited about.
Yeah. Absolutely. To me, the thing I really took away was it was neat. It seemed like they had multiple sets on this one soundstage, and they're sort of probably going through different scenes they're filming, but they also had an editing bay that they were actively working, and that it's just seeing Florence like interact with the crew that she actually seemed familiar with, and they seemed comfortable with her. They weren't like, oh, it's Florence Pugh. They were like, hey, you know, like, it just seemed like a really creative, like, healthy environment. And I don't know if that could all be, you know, fluff and fake, but like, it felt kind of real. And like, at least obviously they had to clear this video and make sure they weren't giving away any spoilers or whatever, but like, it felt very natural, and it felt like a very collaborative environment. And just as a creative person who would love to be making things like that, the idea that just you have all the elements you need in one space, and you can like, oh, we need to reshoot this scene, like walk across the hall and like reshoot in this space and that space, shoot it straight into the editing room. In the shot, she was holding the gun. I'm pretty sure behind her is that big silo that you also see in that scene. So it's like they shot right there and then turned around and they're editing it just right there next to it. It just seems so cool. And I just love the idea. I think of movies, because so many other movies are done on set or on a location. I think of movies as these big sprawling things, and then the edit is later. But the idea that you can kind of be on set and kind of just checking the coverage and checking what you got and stuff, it just seemed so cool to me. I really love seeing that stuff behind the scenes. So it got me excited, pumped for it. Up next, Godzilla X Kong: The New Empire enjoyed a $194 million global debut last week, enough to place it as the third highest grossing film of the year after just one weekend of release. The movie is the fifth film in Legendary's MonsterVerse franchise, which includes the recent Apple TV Plus series Monarch: Legacy of Monsters, though not connected to recent Oscar winner Godzilla Minus One. This opening clearly shows a renewed interest in all things Godzilla. Does the new empire deserve to rule the box office?
So first things first, I can finally provide a little clarity on the X.
Oh,
Adam
good.
Wingard, the director, came out and said that the X is silent. So it's just Godzilla, Kong, the new empire.
Oh, please.
So why is the X there? I don't know.
That makes it so much worse, honestly.
Yeah. That's not clarity. That's not clarity, Jay Scotty.
They need a slash.
That is more confusing.
Put a slash, you know, like that. Like.
Anything but an X. I feel like I want to say Godzilla times Kong all the time. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. I did see this movie this weekend, and I kind of went in with, you know, not very high expectations. I enjoyed Godzilla versus Kong, but coming off the heels of Godzilla Minus One and seeing, you know, what could be done with the Godzilla film, the first Godzilla film to bring home an Oscar. It was for special effects, but I've talked at length about how emotional and how character-driven that Godzilla film was. So going into this Legendary MonsterVerse franchise, they're kind of the exact opposite of that. It's like you just turn your brain off, give into the reptilian brain, and have some fun. And that's exactly what I had. And I'll be honest, like the first couple minutes of the movie, I found myself groaning. I was like, oh, it's going to be one of those. And by the end, I had an absolute blast. I was happy to be proven wrong. It was just a really, really fun time in the theater. Lacks nuance and subtlety totally, but it's giant kaiju fighting on the screen, performing spectacular action. So that's great. The other thing I kind of want to hone in on is just the health of the box office. Like this is, and I think Jay, you kind of spoke to it a little bit on the last segment there, but it is really encouraging. I feel like, you know, around November of last year, we were talking about like pretty much every movie that was coming out was kind of falling short, and it kind of felt like a little bit of doom and gloom. And then we had a little bit of a spike in December. But it really feels like, you know, after Dune, we had Kung Fu Panda be number one. Ghostbusters Frozen Empire did pretty well. And now Godzilla Kong, The New Empire. It's nice to see, you know, whether or not you like these movies or not. It's encouraging for the health of the industry. Like, you know, ever since the pandemic, and actually even before the pandemic, people were talking about, you know, the longevity of the theater experience and like, will it go away? And to me, this just shows that people are willing to show up for big spectacle and, you know, as well as animation, as well as hardcore sci-fi. So that just, it's excites me.
Yeah, that really stood out to me too. Like we talked a second ago about Easter weekend, and really like nobody expected this movie to do this well. Like the kindest of projections were not even close to what it ended up mm-hmm. doing. It really caught people off guard at how well it did. It's not super well reviewed. I think it's sitting somewhere around 50% or something on Rotten Tomatoes, which is very average, you know, but it's got a high audience score. It's got an A- cinema score, I think, or something like that. So that says, hey, this thing's going to be around. It's probably going to run all through April. It doesn't really have a lot of competition in its way or anything like that. And it did extremely well overseas. Like China loved this movie. Mm-hmm. I mean, it had a huge box office overseas, especially in Asia. So to me, when I look at that, I'm thinking about last year's Easter weekend. The movie that was that premiered last year's Easter weekend was the Super Mario Brothers movie, which made over $1 billion. So you think about that. Hollywood's looking at that and they're saying, all right, we threw the Super Mario Brothers movie out there. It made $1 billion. Then we throw this Godzilla and Kong movie out there. It's comes out like fire in its first weekend, and it's probably going to end up doing pretty well, be one of the highest grossing movies of the year. And so you put all that together, and like I think that highlights, one, that Easter weekend is probably going to be a big movie weekend. I mean, it traditionally hasn't really been, but I think, like, you know, you look at things like Thanksgiving and Christmas is more like your holiday, Memorial Day, stuff like that, as like your big holiday movie weekends. Easter weekend seems like a big one that you should target if you're a studio. But also it highlights to me the strength of Warner Brothers. I mean, we're looking at this like you go back, Dune, Barbie, Wonka, and now like you're seeing like they're stacking some really nice box offices here and really kind of carrying the box office to a degree. And I think that speaks to a pretty strong brand over there, a brand that might be gearing itself up to be sold at some point, but still like a very strong brand. We know that the DCU is cooking, like they're getting ready to bring some stuff. We know the Batman is expanding its universe. Like there's a lot happening at Warner Brothers. And so, you know, if you're a fan of this franchise, it's exciting. To me overall though, if you're not a fan of the franchise, I think it says some very positive things about the movie going experience and that the box office is still strong. Even if it's a movie we don't think is going to do well, it comes out and it does.
Yeah. I'm not too surprised it did well. In the Stranded Panda Land, we have, of all of the movies we've covered, the series we've done on Bingers Assemble, this is our highest number of downloads on anything we've done, which, and TV shows other than MCU cast, basically. Like, this was always our highest downloaded movie series, which I thought was weird when it happened. And so, like, to have that this big numbers come out this week for this, kind of like, I was like, oh yeah, that kind of belies that trend that we saw on a smaller level a few years ago on Bingers Assemble. And like, I just think there's apparently a hunger for this franchise, and I think they've done a good job, like, with the movies being quality enough, like. Honestly, when I look back at those, there's not a lot that I'm like that sticks with me from those movies, all four of them. But like, I just remember they were fun. I had a good time. There was enough to chew on thematically that like it felt like a meal. It didn't feel too dependent on what's coming or what's behind it. It was just a good meal of a movie and a fun time at the movies. So, like, I think that people are just hungry for that sort of, like, thing. And, you know, these are beloved characters. Even though they have... I still haven't seen Godzilla Minus One, and I really want to, because it sounds like they have solved one of the biggest problems with these movies, which we've talked about before, which is, like, when you've got these big monsters, like, how do you root for the people when there's, like, the point of the movie is they're inconsequential. So how do you give characters agency to be able to move through a story, you know? So it's a very interesting problem, and I'm really excited to see Godzilla Minus One and this one, just to see how they handle that problem differently. It's always interesting how they sort of, like, try to make the human story work while clearly the heroes of the story are Godzilla and Kong. All right, up next, one of my favorite universes, Star Trek's Kelvin Timeline. That is the Chris Pine, Zachary Quinto, Zoe Saldana-led, and J.J. Abrams-produced films may be getting a fourth and final film, as Steve Yockey has been added as a screenwriter. Yockey is best known for creating the Max series The Flight Attendant, starring Kaley Cuoco. Am I getting that right? Maybe.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Three previous screenwriters had been attached to the project, including WandaVision showrunner and Fantastic Four director Matt Shackman. Star Trek hasn't been on the big screen since 2016's Star Trek Beyond, but has enjoyed a lot of success with various streaming series. Does this feel like a logical move for the crew of the Enterprise? I think so. The Kelvin timeline is super interesting. It came at a time when we hadn't really seen this sort of a reboot before. And I think since then, we've had a few other series do this where it's like, we're rebooting, but we're also maintaining the canon that came before. The Kelvin is like, there are characters from the original timeline in this movie, but they're not, but they create a spinoff timeline and kind of get to reboot without killing the universe. It was an interesting thing, well done for its time, and I've always been interested in it. But what that allows them to do is now they have these series going, and on our Star Trek podcast, the Star Trek Universe podcast, we talk all the time because they make little small changes in the universe here and there, and we're always like, is this a different universe? Is it not? Like, sometimes we're not sure what universe they're making a certain series in, and we're kind of like having to guess whether this fits or not. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of interesting, but I think Star Trek is in an interesting place right now where you could have these Kelvinverse movies going on. They have a Kirk on the current TV show of Strange New World. There's a Kirk on there.
Yeah, it's Anson Mount, right?
No. Oh, no. Anson Mount is playing Captain Pike, who was the captain before Kirk.
Gotcha.
But Kirk is being played by an actor that I can't remember his name. Very different portrayal than we've seen before. But anyway, I digress. I think there's room for all kinds of Star Trek, and the sort of J.J. Abrams-produced whiz-bang Star Wars-like Star Trek of the Kelvin timeline is a very different thing than what they're making on the TV show, and I think it could be a lot of fun to just have both going on, and maybe even have those universes reconnect at some point, like if those characters drift back onto the TV show. I'd love it.
I think that the J.J. Abrams movies, which I like, but I'm like a total dirty casual about Star Trek because they're pretty much the thing I've seen the most. I tried to go back to the beginning and I was like, yeah, I'm going to do it. And I started the first episode and I was like, nope, I'm not. I'm just going to stick with these movies. This is the best I can do. It's a lot. Like, it's a huge universe, right? Yeah.
Yep.
And then I saw an article that I sent to Jay just this like last weekend that was like, is Star Trek over basically? And it's like, well, no, is what our conversation was. It's not, because what did you say, Jay? Like, one out of six subscribers to Paramount Plus, they're watching Star Trek.
Yeah.
So I think there's room for all of these different kinds of properties in Star Trek. And I would like to see this universe, the Kelvin timeline, like, capped off, because it did kind of just end in a way that you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I think it was one out of, it was an article in Variety, and I think it said that one out of six of all Paramount Plus subscribers are watching something Star Trek, which is, that's huge. Like, think about that, one out of six of all your subscribers. But then also, like, I mean, Netflix on, like, Stranger Things, like, they don't even have that, you know, like, it's like 20% or something of people, and that's like their biggest show or something, because the subscribers are just spread out. But then, like, within that one out of six, it said that, like, 50% of those are watching two or more Star Trek things. So, like, the Star Trek base of people, like, they are there for Star Trek on Paramount Plus, so it is a very alive thing. It's definitely something that's not like just, you know, well, it had its day and now there's just a few people watching it. Like, it's got a, I mean, it's creatively doing things and it's trying to make different things happen. And yeah, this is a good call. I mean, a lot of people, this was their first introduction to Star Trek, were these movies, and they want to see a resolution. A lot of the stars that were in this are bigger names now. We mentioned, you know, Chris Pine and Zoe Saldana and Carl Urban, like, you know, as is in those movies. Like, these are big talent now. They've grown over the last decade or so, however long it's been that this thing has been going on. So yeah, I think it's a good call.
Yeah, the Kelvin JJ movies are my entry point into Star Trek, and I don't know how hot a take this might be, but I'd say that 2009 Star Trek might be JJ's best movie. It's kind of got it all for me, and my local AMC actually put it back into theaters this summer, and I went and saw it again, first time I'd seen it in forever, and I loved it. And I really like all of those movies. I particularly like Star Trek Into Darkness. I liked Beyond. I thought Beyond kind of lost the thread a little bit, but kind of like you said, Haley, it'd just be nice to kind of, you know, get to revisit this cast and kind of bring this timeline to a close, because I kind of love how Chris Pine has never wasted an opportunity. Like, when he's asked about it, like, he lays it on with all the honesty and all the, like, sarcasm and all the attitude. Like, we're waiting. We're ready. Like, I haven't heard anything. I'd like to hear something. Give me work, please. It's just, it's great. I love that whole cast. I think they're really good movies. And I would like to see it brought to a proper conclusion.
Yeah, I totally agree. I would really like to see more. And like you said, conclusion, something conclusive. For a while, they were working on a script that would bring back Chris Hemsworth's character, which, right, I thought would be really fun.
Yeah.
Chris Hemsworth plays Kirk's father in the first movie, who dies as George. He's being born. Yep, George Kirk.
I know a little
George.
There you go. Dies as he's being born, and it's like this born into fire, sort of like great operatic moment at the beginning of that movie. But there was apparently a time travel story where, like, the team would go back and he'd have to work with his father to do something, and that sounded like so much fun. But that was just, like, four scripts ago, and I lament that that's probably not what they're going to do, because it's just seeing Chris, because that was before Chris Hemsworth was Chris Hemsworth. You know, it'd just be neat to see him come back. Okay. Let us see. What have we next? Producer Jerry Bruckheimer went 2 for 2 the last couple of weeks here on Multiverse News. Last week, teasing a return of the Pirates franchise, and now a possible third film in the National Treasure franchise, all during his promotion of the Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare. While his comments were vague, they were optimistic, speaking of his confidence in an unnamed writer working on a script that only needs Nick Cage's approval. Are we as optimistic as Jerry when it comes to another cabal and conspiracy-filled historical caper?
I don't know how much interest there is in this. I liked those National Treasure movies. They were definitely a moment back whenever they came out, and they were very successful, especially the first one when it came out. Like, that movie plays on network TV all the time, even still. But I don't know how much people are wanting to revisit that. Like, a lot of times, like, when you're looking at a franchise that did well maybe in like the 2000s or whenever that came out, like, does it work the same 20 years later? And I think that's the question. Nicolas Cage obviously has to be involved in this, or it probably doesn't fly. We were talking before we started recording that there was a streaming show on Disney Plus about National Treasure. And Scotty, you mentioned that it was a continuation, right? Like, it was not a reboot. Right. They were trying to kind of rebuild the universe out, and it was not successful. I mean, a lot of you probably heard that and said, there was a streaming show on Disney Plus about National Treasure. Like, this is the first time you're hearing about it, because it did not get renewed for a second season. Nick Cage did not pop up in it. You had like one reoccurring character, I think, that popped up for like a small role. But other than that, it was supposed to be this extra thing. And again, it just kind of speaks to what the movie was about, right? It's like, hey, there's this big thing. You got to find these historical artifacts. It's going to uncover the truth. And you can only really do that so many ways, right? It's like at some point, like the like, I'm going to steal the Declaration of Independence, which has kind of become a meme. Like, that was the shtick of the first movie, right? And that's what made it what it was. Like, that's why people loved it. But it's like, can you do that again? Like, can you bring that back again and make it a whole other thing? Like, do you up the stakes, you know? So again, it's like, what do you steal now?
How do you up the stakes, like, there?
It's like, well, if you press a button on Lincoln's hand on the Lincoln Memorial, it does the, you know, it's like, at some point it kind of loses its shine a little bit as to what it was. So again, zooming out on it, like, I liked those movies. If Nick Cage is involved, I'm definitely, it depends a lot on the writer for me. It depends a lot on, like, what are they doing? Are they trying to launch it into a new thing? Or are they just doing it, Nick Cage is doing it in late career for fun, and they're just trying to kind of, like, make a good movie? Like, I guess I can be talked into that. But again, like, the lack of success on Disney Plus, the fact that it's been 20 plus years since the last movie, or since the original movie, there's an uphill battle there, right? And so to me, it's like, I think there's a lot of questions that would need to be answered before you could do this. And I think, you know, if it's happening, it's happening. But we'll see. There's a lot. He even said it himself. He's like, look, I haven't even talked to Nick Cage yet. I'm making a script. I'll send it to him. If he likes it, we might do it. So Jerry Bruckheimer just kind of gets talk. You know, they just keep recording, and they just kind of let him go, you know? And it's like, I guess we better not turn it off, because he's still going. That's how the whole Pirates thing happened. So, you know, just let Jerry talk, I guess.
Let Jerry fly.
That's funny, Jay, because that's what I found myself wondering, like, reading these comments, and again, with the proximity to his comments about the Pirates franchise, I found myself wondering, like, how many degrees of separation are there from Jerry Bruckheimer to Bob Iger? Because, like, this is in line with what Bob Iger said about the future of Disney. Hey, we're going back to franchises, and we're going back to sequels, and we're going back to reboots. So I do get the sense that it is what you're saying, Jay. It's just, you know, Jerry Bruckheimer just kind of like spouting off. But I do kind of wonder, what conversations has he had with Bob Iger? And is this an instance of, hey, you know, you can say a few things to just like drum up interest and see what are the most, you know, viable properties to really invest in the future? And I like National Treasure, so I did not watch the streaming service, but I'd totally be down for a third film. I think they're fun.
I really liked some of the descriptions you had, Jay, of the sort of the problem with this, like recapturing the magic, as it were. It reminds me a lot of sort of the problem with Indiana Jones, which even with the time gap we have since the last National Treasure, it just reminds me a little bit of the problem of Indiana Jones, which is like, when you make a sequel, you have to strike this tone that fits everybody's view of what an Indiana Jones movie is. Like, what would be the next thing? You mentioned, like, how do you raise the stakes? How do you make a movie that's, like, similar in style? Like, what are they stealing this time? Like, and then the other thing I feel like this has a problem is the conspiracy theories today are much different in media than they, and in the internet, than they were back then. This was, like, things like this were sort of fringe conspiracy theories. I feel like if they do a really good National Treasure movie, it's going to like cause a bunch of people to believe whatever they say, and it's just going to be bad. I feel like they shouldn't do this movie for conscious reasons.
That is a good call. I didn't even think about that, but yeah, that's totally true.
The thought crossed my mind, but I think there's a reason this franchise is firmly rooted in the past.
Well, yeah, the first one came out in 2004, so we were not that far removed from one of the more patriotic, you know, feelings of that swept this country at the time. And it was really of its time, right? It was the early aughts, and, you know, it was good times. I hate that it was 20 years ago. That really sucks. But it is, I don't know, like, I think you could do it in like a heisty way that's less political and more just like, we're on this treasure hunt kind of thing. A lot of people in our chat seem to really like the show. So I also think about was streaming just not the right place for it? Like, is everybody so overwhelmed with the amount of content that's out there to stream as a television show that this would be better served as a movie? I don't know. I mean, Jerry Bruckheimer, he's got hits, he's got misses, and he's got a lot in between, but he's a producer with, you know, a lot of kind of credibility, even though he makes some goofy movies. He's made some really good ones too. So I think I would be down for National Treasure 3, but only with Nick Cage.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Gotta have Nick Cage back.
Quill agrees.
Yeah, Quill always agrees with me. He's got good taste.
Hey, he's on a tear right now. He's like Brad Winterbaum over there.
He's like, National Treasure!
I'm gonna steal the Declaration of Independence!
Why don't we give away a gift card to the person in the chat who can come up with the best thing to steal in National Treasure 3?
Ooh, yeah, that's a good call. Like, that's a good one. Okay, yeah, chat, sound off. What's the best? It's got to be fitting of the
vibe. We'll
give
you about 5 minutes, you know.
Or just really funny. Yeah, so when we come back from the break, we will give away a gift card to, as voted by our hosts, I guess. actually, just as voted by Jay, this one's his idea.
Yeah,
Jay the history teacher, after Jay, all.
Yeah.
The best one.
Jay's like the Nick Cage of this podcast.
Oh, you've even got the shadow and everything, Jay.
I talked about it at the beginning before we recorded, but I Mr. do have Cecil. To say, have you, Nick Cage was asked what his earliest memory was, and he said that his earliest memory was being in the womb, which, like, I am just like, please stop speaking. Like he was like, I just remember the dark, I remember the darkness and, like, seeing faces and hearing voices. And I'm like, please.
But how did he see faces?
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, man.
I remember the distinct couple of voices outside my mother's room.
And I don't think he was joking. I think he was being dead serious about it.
The man knows how to make a headline.
Yeah.
He does. That.
What a guy.
It's a headline maker, for sure. Well, before we go to a break, we did a Patreon contest this week as well, in dedication to our multiversary that we have right now. TM. Karen.
No, it was already TM'd on Source Pages.
Wait, no, multiversary.
Yeah, it was 2 years ago.
Not multiversary.
Yeah, but you tried to say that it was, you know, not a thing, and it already was a thing. Okay. I'll have my lawyer call your
You
lawyer.
Guys had Sparkiversary. That's a whole Litigation. Different kind of versary.
Litigation.
I was giving TM to Karen.
Karen was our fan first.
Everybody stop playing tug of war with the fans, okay? They can...
She's mine. Okay, well, we're gonna give away more gift cards to some patrons. Thank you. patreon.com/multiverse newscast if you want to join the Patreon. We try to do giveaways pretty regularly, and just like we're gonna do a hangout soon with the patrons, so you know, just fun time, and you get to support this podcast, and it means a lot. But this week we did our randomized selection of our patrons to see who gets the $50 gift cards. We're giving two away, and they are Sherman Smith and Rachel J. So hit us up on Patreon and let us know. Let us know you heard your name, and we'll send you and give us how to send you that gift card. We'll get it to you.
Say those names one more time, will you, Matt?
That's Sherman Smith and Rachel J.
Congratulations, winners.
Yeah. Okay, guys, we are going to take a quick break, and when we get back, we've got our Spotify poll for this week, a little trip down memory lane of the first year of this podcast, and we're going to give away a gift card to whoever came up with the best thing to steal. Planning some heists here on Multiverse News right after this. Welcome back to Multiverse News. So guys, we're going to turn to our Spotify poll real quick, which this week we did. This one's a little self-serving, but you know, it's our anniversary, so we figured we could take a little moment to think through some of the stuff we did this year with what's been your favorite segments or bits from the first year of Multiverse News. We got a few things in common here. Let's see. We got Cuddy G88 says, just love the whole show in general. Y'all's personalities complement each other very well, and just my fave show from the Stranded Panda Y'all are the best. Thank you, Cuddy G88. That means a lot. Favorite show from Stranded Panda. We put a lot of work into it. We really appreciate that. Deadpool 1234 says the lightning round, and IJ also says the lightning round.
Lightning round has taken on a life of its own over the course of the year.
It has. It has. It's developed. It's grown. It's come up with little things that go with it, like this next thing that a number of people sent in, which I really liked. Tiny butt. Andre Mad says tiny butt is something.
And TM.
Jason A. TM.
that was a Haley origin. Yes.
TM on yes. the TB.
I remember that. Yeah.
TM on the TB.
We'll never define how many tiny butts you get either, because that's the magic. You know, you don't know how many tiny butts you get.
Magic.
It's just
there's an infinite history. Number.
Yeah, they're tiny butts. You can fit a lot of them. Jason A. says tiny butt all the way, makes me laugh every time. Jordan Boyd says tiny butts are the fast and loose style of the lightning round. So I love that. I love that. This is one of my favorites that we got. Bookworm guy says Sebastian the land crab. Only true listeners would remember this.
That's a deep
yeah,
cut.
Yeah, that was like very deep. I mean, that's got to be one of our earliest episodes that we talked Definitely. About that.
Yep.
I had totally forgotten about that until I saw that comment. I started laughing.
I don't know why I remember why it made me laugh so much, because Jay was like, land crabs.
Yeah, the West Virginia really came out. Like I was yeah. just musing yeah. on land crabs. It gets away from me if I'm not, you know, paying attention to it.
It's one of the things that goes really well with all of these is like when we enjoy them, I think it just adds to the magic, because you can just tell like when we kind of lose our shit. Like, and I think Haley kind of lost her shit on that one. It was very, very fun.
Land crab.
Let's see. This is another good one. Waterfall Angel says, does the popcorn bucket reveal count?
Absolutely it does.
Of course.
A monumental moment.
Bring him out.
Historical.
He's here.
Bring out the popcorn bucket. Ah, yeah.
Celebrity. Oh my God, I can't believe he came back.
I know.
I'm so starstruck right
that.
Now.
Popcorn bucket on screen. M. Ears also says, the appearance of the Dune butt bucket is my Roman Empire.
You and me both.
That's great. A lot of butt talk, after all. We joke off camera about the butt talk, but it's very real.
It's a butt heavy podcast.
Pretty real.
Very butt heavy.
Also a heavy butt podcast over here. Sunny Tetris says, the popcorn bucket making a surprise appearance. Please have more celebrity cameos like that in year two.
I don't think anything can ever popcorn bucket. I mean,
it's a good moment. It was a really
good
moment.
You know
that
moment. Old show that was on VH1 or whatever called, it was the 90s. It was like things of the 90s. Yeah. This would totally be in the 2020s.
Oh, for sure.
Popcorn bucket.
Absolutely. Yeah. Okay. RP Collins, 1991. I love this love for Jay Scotty. RP Collins says, Jay Scotty's 5-star dad jokes and quips. But also, I like how you cover news on books, comics, and games, and not just TV. This is one of my favorite podcasts.
Aww.
Thank you, RP Collins. And get that shout out, Jay Scotty.
Yeah. The. Dad jokes are for me first and foremost, but if somebody else is enjoying them, I'm glad.
Even if y'all hated them, I would still be doing them.
I love your dad jokes, Scotty. I just have to always give you the obligatory.
Oh, that's why I do it. Yeah.
Oh, so they're really for me.
He does it for the ugh. For the ugh.
Do it for the ugh.
Jeremy Boyle says Pedro Pascal news every week, and Jake says also said the absolutely delightful chats about good old Pedro Pascal.
Whose birthday?
Happy birthday,
today.
Pedro!
Right. I can't think about that. We synced up our birthday and Pedro Pascal's birthday. Like, it's almost like we planned it somehow.
I can't believe it.
But
I can't believe it.
It's destiny. I can because we live in a simulation.
Hot take. from Haley. We live in a simulation.
Every day I become more convinced that we're in a simulation, like every single day.
Oh man! Oh, I missed this one with the popcorn bucket. Daniela Forrest says everyone's reaction to the Dune bucket, the laughter-inducing tiny butts during lightning rounds, Jay Scotty's dad jokes, and the unforgettable moment when Matt took on the Carolina Reaper dare.
Yes, has to be mentioned. I mean, that was a tent pole moment in the history of the podcast. Mm-hmm.
It really was the moment where we decided we might should take on a new direction. It was very popular among the listeners. So maybe we should just be a podcast where we eat hot things and try to, it's like Hot Ones too, basically.
But yeah, I think we try to bring a certain professionalism and polish to this podcast, but we're not afraid to cut loose and have some fun.
So. Yeah. Some butt talk.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gotta some have a little butt talk. Heavy butt talk. DJ Man 38 also said Lightning Round and the Carolina Reaper. And that is the ones that sent in on the Spotify poll.
If this is your first time listening to this podcast, you're like, what is this podcast? What is this show?
Go back and find out.
Yeah, and that's the funny thing about an anniversary show is like it's referential of the past, which is wonderful. But also because of the way algorithms work, like there's more people watching today than normal. So the way algorithms work, more people will see this on Spotify, on YouTube, and they'll probably watch and go like, what is happening? I don't understand all these self-referential jokes.
You can get on board for the next round if these didn't make sense.
So what are you guys' most memorable moments? You guys got one? Got anything that pops to mind? I'll go first if you guys need to think. I sent you guys the video and I posted it on Stranded Panda Chat. I really enjoyed the cinematic nose segment we did where you guys had to guess the cinematic nose. I just really enjoyed it because everybody's just getting a good laugh out of it. And my favorite moment is when Jay answered one and looked ashamed of himself for answering one. If you don't remember, this is when I impersonated different people saying no in movies and saw if the hosts could all answer what those were. And Jay Scotty was the goat. He got 3 out of 5. But Jay, the one that he got, he looked so ashamed of himself. And it was
because I knew what you were doing. And I was like, he doesn't deserve me guessing this because it wasn't good enough of an impression, but I know what he's trying to do. So I have to say it, but you know,
gets a passing grade.
You guys go listen for yourself. So I shared on the Stranded Panda Chat today and Facebook. I think my, no bastards was pretty spot on, pretty spot on. The Libyans, man, the Libyans.
I mean, I think the listeners pretty much covered it. I mean, they brought it, you know. They've been here the whole time. They brought some great moments, and I'm just happy to have, you know, shared a lot of these moments with listeners. Listeners of this show are really cool, and they're all super, like, they're really welcoming and supportive and just the best.
Absolutely.
Real quick one that didn't get any kind of mention, but I know there's a couple of people that really were a fan of Saw Patrol.
Oh, yes. Saw Patrol. Yeah.
Saw Patrol gets referenced a lot still.
Yeah.
Like it was the best. It was just it was early on the, I remember seeing it somewhere else too, like around the internet after we did, like months after they were out and people put that up, and I was like, I feel like they got that from us.
I remember Zuhair said something to me about it, and he didn't realize we had said it on the podcast. I thought he was referencing Multiverse News, and he was like, oh, no, I found it somewhere else. Like,
oh,
okay.
Oh, that's funny.
And we started that. We feel pretty confident about that.
For sure we did.
I love some of the stories that stretched out pretty far were fun. Barbenheimer, for example, like talking about that for weeks. The fantastic forecasting always getting confirmed and then taken away was hilarious in retrospect.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Good times.
We, like for a year or you know, for like 8 months, we were talking about who would be the Fantastic Four. Just like,
wait until Comic-Con to do this, like I will not make it. Like I'm not talking about it again until it's official.
We're going to cut back to Jay and it's just going to be a skeleton in the chair. Just
me
like,
waiting for Fantastic
Four. I'm dead. Yeah. I liked our self-awareness of not trying to get on the bad side of the Swifties.
Yes, yes. Anytime Swift comes up, there's a sort of like reverence to Swift.
Yeah, we're cool.
You don't want to.
We're cool.
Yeah, we're cool. We're all good with Swift.
Choose we'll your say next things words about very this. Carefully.
Yeah. Gotta dodge them Swifties. okay. Before we move into lightning round, we're gonna try something new this week. We always do the Spotify poll, but this week we're gonna try something new on YouTube. When we post the YouTube video on Tuesday, so if you're watching this live, this is not where to do it. It's tomorrow once the video pops up. But we are gonna ask a question, and we want you guys to answer the question in the YouTube comments section. And the top comment top couple comments will read on the show. And this is part of our switch over to YouTube and trying to like engage there more, well, a little more. This week, since it's our anniversary, I want to hear you guys prophesy about the coming year. What do you think will be the most talked about story in year two of Multiverse News? I want to hear your prophecies in the YouTube comments. When this video goes live, they do not have to be serious. They can be as silly as you want to be. And the top answer.
Now, when you say the top comment, that's not arbitrary. That's like the comment with the most likes, right?
Yes, okay. I believe YouTube ranks the comment. So the comment with the most likes.
Okay.
So comment and then vote with your likes, which ones you like. If you don't comment, you go over there and throw some likes for people. Okay.
Hey, wait, I got some National Treasure 3.
He's busting out the spectacles.
Gift card time.
National Treasure gift card, baby.
My eyes are not great anymore. okay. All right. So we got a few of we got a lot of feedback here. We got George Washington's donkey teeth from Scott Forbes. We got the needle that made the first flag. Good one. We got the Knights Templar treasure on Oak Island. We've got the Lost Dutchman's gold mine. We've got, the original red ruby slippers from Wizard of Oz. Mao Zedong's body, which is like so random. Like, of all people, you could have chosen anyone from history, and you went with Mao Zedong. I feel like there's...
is there like a Jimmy Hoffa situation there? Or do we like not know where his body is?
I have no idea like what it's about. They break into Area 51, which is linked to DB Cooper, and find the money from his heist, which I like that one. That's from Tears of Clem. Good. That one's kind of top at the moment.
You rip a mask off and it's actually just Tom Hiddleston.
Yeah, it's like a Scooby-Doo moment. Like they rip it off and then they rip it off again and it's like somebody else. We've got the lost Da Vinci mural. We've got Lincoln's hat. We've got Courtney O'Brien saying the 11 secret herbs and spices. You know, you got some marketing potential. I mean, there's some good marketing potential there. The keys to JFK's love dungeon. This is hilarious. Walt Disney's head,
really good.
Which is somewhere, I guess. Plymouth Rock, haul the whole thing out of there, which I just think like the extra sentence is like, just get it all. Bring it all. We got
it. And put it where?
There's some good responses.
That feels like a desire from that listener. Like,
oh my gosh.
Get that thing out of there.
So good. So I'm going to go with Tears of Clem here. The DB Cooper reference is good. You know, the Area 51, we brought all together. But man, great comments, great stuff, hilarious all the way around. But yeah, let's put her down for a $25 gift card.
I got
you. Nice. We're going to
send us an email at multiverse news cast.
Multiverse@gmail.com.
I'm not the person to do this.
Okay, well, we're going to dive into the lightning round. If you've been with us for a year, you know how the lightning round works. But for the new folks that are finding us for the first time, lightning round is where we cover a lot of stories quickly. And the way we do that is I'm going to read a short story. They're going to jump on it by buzzing in, by saying their names, and I can also buzz in. And then you only get to do one rebuttal per lightning round. So use them wisely. The Mandalorian and Quantumania actor Katie O'Brien has been cast in Mission Impossible 8.
Haley, Katie O'Brien could like crack my head open with her arms. Have you seen her for that Love Lies Bleeding movie? She is jacked.
She's a monster.
She's not in but a bad she's way. Fun. I mean,
that
I like,
is a compliment.
No,
that
she's cool. I like her a lot. She was also in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., fun fact. Yeah. So, yay.
Who did she play?
Oh my gosh, she plays
the other agent. That
yeah,
had, like,
that's
the friend.
With the guy that turns into the LMD.
LMD at the end. Yeah.
Yeah. That's right. So I always bring that up because everyone's like, "Yeah, the Mandalorian." I'm like, "Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D." I love her, and I don't know what's going on with Mission Impossible 8, but don't worry, we'll find out and we'll tell you about it on Bingers Assemble.
That's right, we will.
Scotty with a tiny butt.
I
just wanted to say I really love how Tom Cruise and Christopher McQuarrie have kind of like taken the Mission Impossible franchise and used it as a platform for just badass women, like between Rebecca Ferguson, Haley Atwell as the actress that plays Guardians of the Galaxy Mantis.
Palm Clementif.
There we go. Yeah. So this is just another
entry.
And
we can't forget Sue Storm herself.
Vanessa Kirby.
Yeah. I love it.
Yes. Doctor Strange director Scott Derrickson and frequent collaborator C. Robert Cargill will adapt a new version of the acclaimed 1953 crime novel The Night of the Hunter for Universal.
Jay, this is kind of like a noir sort of thing. It's like a very like 50s mystery type thing. So I think someone like Scott Derrickson makes a lot of sense for that. This is kind of an area he hasn't super been in, so I think it's like a cool creative thing for him to do. These two collaborate on pretty much everything that Scott Derrickson has done of note. I mean, you think about like they were collaborators on Doctor Strange and some of the other things you might know him for. So yeah, I'm really interested in this. I like Scott Derrickson as a creator. I think he's a good director, and I think like he's got a lot of potential for this kind of like cool like crime horror. You could even kind of bring like some like true crime horror type thing into it and make it kind of a cool 50s to now update type thing. I think it's a cool idea.
Final Destination Bloodlines has added to its main cast. Breck Basinger, who starred in the CW's DC series Stargirl, Chucky actor Teo Briones, and Dear Evan Hansen stage actress Caitlin Santawana, the 100-star Richard Harmon, Gotham Knights actress Anne Laurie, and Owen Patrick Joyner, one of the stars of Netflix series Julie and Phantoms, will star in the lead role in the sixth installment of the franchise, which is now in production. And that's the Final Destination franchise.
Scotty, do I recognize a single name in this lineup? No, I do not. But that has always kind of been the case with the Final Destination films. I think across the five films that we've gotten so far, the only names I can, you know, recognize or Mary Elizabeth Winstead, Devon Sawa, and I think Tony Todd popped up in a couple of them. But it's a franchise that I always like. A couple of the entries get pretty schlocky. I don't think it's, some people can, you know, take or leave this term, elevated horror. It's certainly not elevated horror, but it is a lot of fun. So the title there, Bloodlines, that's I was not aware that was going to be the title. So I find that pretty intriguing. Are we going to be revisiting, you know, past movies and past leads in those, and maybe this is the new generation? I suspect it'll be doing something like that. But they're always a fun time. They may always make me a little paranoid afterwards. I'm extra aware of, like, you know, situational danger, and I probably take it a little bit too far, but it's part of the fun.
I mean, if you're behind a log truck, like, you can't not think about it.
Oh,
you can't not think about it. It's just it ruined our entire generation.
Exactly.
Oh, man. A sequel to the 2003 Disney body swap comedy Freaky Friday seems to be in the works, as Chippendales director Nisha Ganatra has been attached, and stars Jamie Lee Curtis and Lindsay Lohan are currently in negotiations to return.
Haley, Lindsay Lohan is so back. She has this cheesy romance movie on Netflix called Irish Wish, which I'm totally... Irish Wish, which...
Start to sound like me.
I can't say it. Irish. I did sound
it's
like
tough,
you.
It's tough to say.
Irish Wish. It didn't sound any better.
Three
Leave it all
fast,
in.
Hey,
I don't care.
Fast. Come on.
Anyway, so she, and they had like a whole red carpet moment, and she's like out there. And so I think that we covered this a while back, and I think Jamie Lee Curtis was like, yeah, I'll do it, but only if Lindsay's in. And it sounds like it's going to happen for sure.
I did, tiny butt. I did read today that the thought is the plot of the movie, because it's kind of hard to just body swap them again, you know, like that was kind of like, it's like, you know, it's like you already did that. So you kind of have to be like, what's going to be the updated? It seems like there's going to be like, it's going to get crazy here. This is going to be like a four-way swap, because it's like Lindsay Lohan's character is going to have like a daughter, and there's going to be like other people involved, and there's going to be like a lot of swapping going on. So you know, I mean, body swap was a thing back in the day, and we've kind of brought it back a little bit. There's been some body swap movies like Freaky, and with Vince Vaughn was in that movie, and Catherine Newton was in that movie. So, I mean, you know, they're kind of back.
Yeah. Tiny butt, that's really interesting. I haven't seen much innovation in the body swap space, you know, like multiple swaps. I don't think I've ever seen that. I know it seems like an obvious progression, but I've never seen that. All right, Scream 7 looks to add another series regular after the return of Nev Campbell, with Courtney Cox in talks to reprise her role as Gale Weathers.
Scotty, this doesn't really come as a surprise. I think Courtney Cox probably would have returned for Scream 7 had Nev Campbell not returned, or, you know, whatever the situation was with that film would have been. She seems like kind of the one mainstay there, but not mentioned in this breakdown, but I've heard rumors that they're also apparently trying to get David Arquette, who portrays Deputy Dewey, who is, you know, Courtney Cox's character's love interest. They're trying to get him back, and I don't know exactly how that will work, but certainly intriguing.
Yeah, absolutely. I didn't know that. Universal Pictures has postponed two Blumhouse horror films. Lee Whannell's Wolfman will now premiere on January 17th, 2025, 3 months later than planned. The Woman in the Yard was removed from the schedule, but will be rescheduled.
Yeah, Jay, there's not a whole lot to say here. I mean, we, other than just like, we've talked about this Wolfman movie, like Ryan Gosling was in it, and then he got swapped out for someone else. And so, you know, it's kind of been in the works for a little while. But yeah, just a little bit of movement here. The Woman in the Yard is kind of like a very mysterious project. Like, there's not a whole lot known about it yet, but it seems like it's probably going to be a little while out now before we ever hear anything about it.
Ezra Miller was quietly replaced by Eric Baza for their voice role as a minor antagonist in Amazon's Invincible.
Scotty. Yeah, this I have not seen the latest episode of Invincible season 2 with the replacement there, so I can't really speak to the quality, but Eric Bauza is a prolific voice actor, and this is actually not the first instance where he's taken on a pretty notable role from a problematic previous performer. He also, on Bob's Burgers, became the voice of Jimmy Pesto, and he also voices, you know, multiple people on both Rick and Morty as well as Solar Opposites. And I think Solar Opposites specifically, he has stepped in for some of the voices that Justin Roiland did there. So kind of an interesting career to carve out for yourself as kind of like the replacement voice actor guy.
Mr. Fix-It.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I guess a lot of flexibility, and like, you're not getting those problematic, you know, things happening in your life. So you're able to navigate the pros of not being an asshole.
Funny how that works.
Louis Gossett Jr., the Oscar and Emmy winning actor known for his role in Watchmen and The Punisher, has passed away at 87. He was the first black man to win an Academy Award for Best Supporting Actor for An Officer and a Gentleman, and also earned an Emmy for Roots.
Scotty, obviously a monumental figure in the Hollywood space here. So as I kind of always say, condolences to his, you know, his friends, his family, and of course his fans. And this is certainly a loss that looms large with the impact that he had, and especially looking at the way, like, we've seen awards, you know, evolve in this current age. I think we can look back and certainly be thankful to the role Louis Gossett Jr. played in that trajectory.
Chance Perdomo, who starred in the television series Gen V and Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, has died as a result of a motorcycle accident. He was only 27.
Jay, man, this was really, really tragic news. This came across, I think it was over the weekend. It was just in the evening, and it was very shocking. He was very much on the rise as an actor. He's very talented. Like, in Gen V specifically is what I'm familiar with seeing him in. He just stole scenes. I mean, he was So incredibly talented, on the rise. A lot of his co-stars have come out and just talked about how great he was to be around on set. You have also people who starred in The Boys, like Anthony Starr came out with a statement. The creative team behind Gen V and The Boys came out with a statement. Like Jesse Usher, who plays A-Train, like all these people came out and just were talking about this. So very, very tragic, you know, just gone way too young and in such a tragic and shocking way. It's I mean, there's a lot of ripple effect there.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's a really shocking one. A new poster was released for Joker Folie à Deux, along with a tease for an incoming trailer on April 9th by Lady Gaga herself. The film will release on October 4th. Matt, they're going to put out a trailer on a Tuesday.
Yeah, not even just... Yeah. So there is kind of a... now, here's what's going to happen.
We record the
show.
Here's
what's going to happen, though, because they've... It seems like the trailer is going to come out next week because CinemaCon is next week. And so what's going to happen is they're going to show the trailer at their panel at CinemaCon, and then they're going to drop it. So that panel, I think Warner Brothers panel starts at like 7 Eastern time or 4 p.m. Pacific, something like that. So you're probably not going to see this trailer until about the middle of us recording the show, probably like, you know, 8 p.m. Eastern time or something is when it'll pop up on your Twitter feed or whatever. But yeah, it'll be like an evening trailer that we'll see this thing pop up next week because of CinemaCon.
We'll watch it on the ad break. No. All right, guys. Well, that is our news for this week. We are so happy to be making this show and to have all you guys listening, both live and on YouTube and on the podcast. We appreciate you so much for joining us and so much for the support all year. It means the world to me. And I just want to thank my co-hosts here. This show is one of the more labor-intensive shows. I mention it all the time. There's a lot that goes into this show to prep this show, to gather the news. Jay Sisson has been the king of like keeping his finger on the pulse. Thank you, Jay. Thank you so much. And Haley and Jay Scotty have both written a lot of scripts this year. And they're just always wonderful. You guys do a great job. And all the support you guys do for the show. I'm just so happy to be working with all three of you. It really makes this show fun to make because everybody chips in and works. And it means a lot. So thank you guys so much for that. But that's the show for this week.
You're not going to get out of here that easily. I echo your sentiments. This is a really fun and great team to be a part of. We're a well-oiled machine. It's one of my favorite parts of my week every week, but we have to give you thanks as well, Matt. You do the majority of the editing here. So every Tuesday after we all log off and go about our evenings, you've got an edit ahead of you. So you're kind of the linchpin that makes that consistency on Wednesday happen. So thank you very much.
Oh man. Well, thanks for that. Thanks for that. Yeah, it's a pleasure to do. It really is. And I looking back today at like old episodes and stuff in preparation, and I was posting that clip and I was like, man, I really like making this show. I really, really love making this show. It's fun. Love just laughing with you guys every week. And like, it's just a fun, like the edit. Yeah. The edits can be long cause it's a video podcast, but like at the end, the product is always really cool cause you guys provide such energy and it's just great. I love it. So thank you guys. Thanks to everybody for watching and listening.
What's cool about podcasting in general too is you just get to share something that you like and you talk to people that you're friends with or whatever that you like the same thing or you have a common interest. But podcasting gives you a lot of like reach to be able to talk to a lot of people that you wouldn't normally meet and share in a thing that you think is cool. So all of us think like entertainment is cool and like the business of entertainment and like the news and trailers and like box office and all that type of stuff. Like we all like that stuff. So it's cool to get to connect with a lot of people from around our country, from around the world who are into the same thing and are just cool. Like, I said it at the top, absolutely. Like the listeners of the show are just, they're just good people. They're positive. They just want to talk about, like, they don't want to, like, we're not on here to argue. We're not in here to like, we're not Hot Take Factory. You know, we're not clickbait. We're not in here to just like get people riled up and trash on the thing that people are trashing on. Like we're here to talk about things that we like. And we've attracted people who are into the same thing And so I appreciate that, and I appreciate the opportunity to connect with not just you three, of course, but also people who are just kind of into the same stuff that we are. It's pretty cool.
Well said.
Yeah. Big thanks to the listeners, people who come every week to our live streams, people that are on the other side of the planet that come to our live streams. Like, that's so, it honestly blows my mind that we have so many people who are loyal enough to listen to us. And it's also awesome to hear the feedback that we are actually providing a service to you and helping you, you know, go through your week. And so I love that. Love the team, love the process. Yay.
Yeah, I echo all those sentiments. The whole ethos behind Stranded Panda, I don't know how much I've said it on podcasts, I've said it before, but is that we're all like, we're a rare breed of geek that's like kind of stuck in our own world, and this podcast network is supposed to be a way for us all to kind of find each other. And so what you're saying, Jay, and what you're saying, Haley, right there is like exactly right. Just reaching out from all over the world, all over the country, and just like connecting to other people like us. And it just, my whole goal for this entire project of this network is just to make people feel less lonely by showing that there's people like you out there and just being ourselves and having, enjoying the stuff we love. So, it makes me feel really happy that there are people that are getting that from this show. And yeah, love it. So thank y'all. Thank you for being here. Let's tell them where they can find your stuff online. Jay Sisson.
Yeah, I'm at Commute the Podcast, a weekly show where you can learn three interesting things in 20 minutes on your commute to work. So come hang out with us over there at Commute the Podcast.
Haley Hobbs.
You can find me at Source Pages. Brian and I are having a lot of fun doing Executioner's Song, some crossover comics from the 90s. So check us out if you want some background on X-Men 97 characters.
Sweet. And J. Scotty St. Clair.
Animation Deliberation is the podcast that takes action, animation, and cartoons seriously, but not too seriously. So you can find that wherever you get your podcast. And I'm also a pretty frequent contributor to shows like Bingers Assemble. It's been kind of the main one. I show up on the MCU cast from time to time. PandaVision.
Yeah. Well, thank you guys all for being here. All the hosts, all the listeners, all the live watchers. We love you very much. And we're going to be here every week at 7:30 Central, 8:30 Eastern, on YouTube. So if you're having fun, listening to the show out there, come be part of the live. And there's been a really active chat today. It's been a lot of fun watching everybody just getting to interact with each other. Super fun. So we'll be back next week. Peace.
You stay classy, Multiverse.
Hey, thanks for listening to Multiverse News, or watching it, or whatever you're doing, you know, eyeballs or ear holes, whichever thing. We do this show every week, and we appreciate you listening. Strandedpanda.com is where you can find all of our podcasts, and thank you for listening. Check us out wherever you get podcasts. Hit that subscribe button, hit that like button, hit the little bell icon, whatever you have on whatever service you're doing. Rate us, like us. We're really thirsty, that's what I'm saying.